Well, we have a very creative arts team here, don't we? How many of you struggle with that? Unfriending, to unfriend, to not, you struggle with that a little bit? Yeah, I get it. Do you play it out like this though? Do you do that too? No one thinks to do that. Okay, that's good. How many of you struggle on the opposite end of this though, where I struggle, like whether to accept the friend request to begin with? That's kind of where I struggle. Anybody else struggle there? Okay, there's a few of you. Well, that's good. Well, I'm really excited to be here this morning, and whether you're here to get Facebook advice or hear what God has to say about how we transition and change in relationships, I'm really grateful that you're here this morning. As Jody and JC mentioned earlier, my name is Danielle. I'm the children's pastor here, and you know, everyone said that the third service, this is where it's at, that you guys are the live crew, that you're most excited to be here because you're well rested, you know, because the service doesn't start until noon. And so I'm really excited to be here, and hopefully I'll get to see some of that today as we interact and share. How many of you are excited that we are at summer? Are you happy about summer? Yes. Let me ask this a different way. How many of you who are parents are excited about summer? Oh, okay, there's one of us. Good. That's okay. Well, whether you're excited or not, summer is a great opportunity for us to do some incredible things with our family. And I'll tell you, a couple weeks ago, I had the chance to send my girls, I have two daughters, back to Las Vegas, Nevada, where we're from, to visit my grandmother, their great-grandmother. And they were really happy to go. And on one of the days, I called to check and see how things were going. And I'm talking to my grandmother. I'm like, hey, how are things going, Nana? And she's like, things are going great. She goes, funny thing, though, I set up a TV in the front room for the girls to watch TV, but they keep coming in my room. And so now we're here watching Judge Judy. And I'm like, ah, awesome. My kids are watching Judge Judy. Great. But it reminded me of when I was a kid and I spent summers at my Nana's house in Las Vegas. And we did the exact same thing. My grandma had set up a room for us to watch whatever TV shows we wanted, but we always found ourselves in my Nana's room, sprawled across her white quilted comforter, except then we weren't watching Judge Judy. We were watching one of the greatest TV show series of all times. I am a lifelong fan and diehard lover of everything Golden Girls. Right? How many of you love Golden Girls right along with me? Yes, it's a great show. I mean, there's Rose and Dorothy and Sophia, and who could forget Blanche, right? So for those of you who don't know what the Golden Girls is, it is an iconic TV show that chronicles the life of four women in the golden ages of their life. Not ages, that sounds really bad. The golden years of their life and just everything that they go through together as roommates. Guys, it is definitely one of the best series of all times and probably some of Betty White's best work. I'll tell you, my sister and I loved this show so much that we would dress up in my grandmother's clothes and in her heels and we would play Golden Girls. And because I'm the oldest of four children, I was Dorothy. And I think I make a good Dorothy, don't you? I fit right in to this cast there. I'm not in the golden years of my life, but I could pull it off, I think. My sister, however, because she was younger, she always wanted to play Rose, which saying that out loud now makes a lot of sense that she was Rose. I've had to do life with her, and she's definitely got a lot of Rose tendencies. But we acted out the complexities of each of these four women's lives, and even though we had no idea what any of what we were doing meant, we knew that this show was hysterically funny and that these ladies were the epitome of friendship. We know, though, that their relationship wasn't always perfect, though, right? There was that one time where Rose moved out because she wanted better roommates. That time that Dorothy married Stan again, right? And it caused a huge rift between her and Sophia. So even though this show had these incredible friendships on them, they were not perfect, right? I remember hours as kids that we spent trying to figure out where St. Olaf was. How many of you knew that as kids, St. Olaf was in Minnesota? I didn't know that. I just found that out. St. Olaf's in Minnesota. And we spent hours trying to figure out where St. Olaf was and how we could get there because we wanted to meet Sven. Do you remember Sven? That Rose always talked about. That's right. Well, in any case, years ago, Rue McClanahan, the actress who played Blanche on the show, sat down and did an interview about her time on the show. And she said that when she was working on the show, that they would get hundreds of letters from teenage girls who wanted to come and live with them because they thought the show was real. I can't blame them. When I was a kid, I thought the show was real as well. Well, in that interview, she also said that the appeal of these four characters was their warmth and their friendship and the fact that they stuck together through thick and thin, and that that is what made it even more desirable. And it's true. Who doesn't want friends like Blanche and Rose and Dorothy and Sophia in their life? These are some incredible women. Well, once I entered college, I had obviously developed a love of friendship-based theme shows. And while you may not have known the Golden Girls, everyone, and I mean everyone, knows the show. Friends. You guys are amazing. They were right. You guys are the best. Exactly. Friends. Friends is like hands down one of my very favorite TV shows. I am a faithful watcher of all things Friends. Rachel and Phoebe and Joey and Chandler and Ross and Monica. These are the friends that we all wanted when we were in our 20s, right? They are funny and supportive. They're witty. They fight hard, but they love hard too. And over the course of this show, as they grew into adulthood, so many of us did as well. We love this show. I love this show. And I'll tell you, even to this day, I am still a diehard Friends fan, and I still watch two episodes of Friends a night on Nick Jr. at 11 and 11:30. Yes! Right there, I knew it. And if you have AT&T UVerse, that's channel 315 and 316. It is great. A few weeks ago, an episode came on that had me laughing so hard, I was snorting, it was embarrassing. But I woke up my daughter two doors down the hall, and she came stumbling in my room, and she's wiping her eyes, and then she looks at me, and she looks at the show, and then she does what every good daughter in my house does. She jumped in the bed, and we watched the rest of it together. That's right. It's good. But what is it about friendships that absolutely draws us in, right? In each of these shows, I can remember seeing just a little bit of myself. And if I'm being honest, I was drawn to the idea of what a friendship like these characters in these shows could be and do for me in my life. I wanted to experience the joy and the pain and the heartache and the laughs. I wanted a theme song every time I walked in a room, right? I wanted to know that all of my problems could be solved in 30 minutes. Wouldn't that be great? But unfortunately, not everyone can have a relationship like those of our favorite TV shows. Our relationships are a little messier. And you don't need to raise your hand, but let me ask you, how many of you have the type of friend that's got to one-up everything you do, right? I mean, you tell them, hey, I'm going to be away. I'm taking the family to Disneyland. And they go, hey, we're going to Disney World. We're going to spend 10 days there. We've got backstage passes to the Star Wars attraction, and we're going to do a meet and greet with the characters, right? That one friend that's always got to one-up you. Or maybe you've got that friend that literally, literally sucks the entire life out of you when you're done meeting with them, right? I mean, this one is so bad that when you're done with them, you've got to make an appointment with your counselor because you know them. They just suck everything out of you. Well, all of these relationships remind us that life is not like Golden Girls or Friends for that matter, no matter how many 30-minute episodes we watch. Relationships just aren't as clean as the ones on our favorite TV shows. As a matter of fact, I've yet to create, develop, and solve a friendship quarrel in 30 minutes. It just has not happened. I'm waiting for it, though. Life is so much more complex than that. Relationships are so much more complex than that. Well, in the book of Acts, we get a glimpse of what this looks like. And you may remember Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. Well, Saul started out as a fierce persecutor of Christians. I mean, his main goal at that time in his life was to find, seek out, and torment Christians. Well, the thing is, as life went on, Saul had an encounter with God in the middle of the desert that left him completely blind for a few days, actually. And when God restored his sight, he found that not only had he been physically able to see, but that God had literally changed his heart and set him on a path in the complete opposite direction of where he started. Whereas before he was persecuting Christians, now at this point in his life, he was a sold out follower of Christ who had devoted his life to evangelism. Well, as Saul began to this new way of life, he was relatively new to ministry. And there was a man named Barnabas who was a prominent early church leader. And he was known for coming alongside new believers and assisting them in their walk with Christ. And he took Saul underneath his wing. And they began a working relationship of what it would look like to do ministry together, to preach the word of Christ to the cities and towns around them. And as they grew in this relationship, they became good friends as well. And as they were closing out this season of their life where they were preparing to go into the mission field that consisted of praying and fasting and just really getting ready, they got their orders for their very first mission journey. And they were to go to Cyprus. And as they were preparing to go to Cyprus, Barnabas asked his cousin, John Mark, to come along. And this is where we'll pick up our story today in Acts chapter 13. Let's take a look. It says, the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. The Bible says that John was with them as their helper. And his role was to really assist Paul and Barnabas in Cyprus. And John Mark did a good job because the scriptures say he continued on with them and he traveled doing more mission work with them. And then we see this single line in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, that completely changes things. Let's take a look. It says, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Huh. Well, scripture doesn't indicate what, but we know something happened in Pamphylia between Paul and John Mark. Something that caused John Mark to completely leave the mission and return back to Jerusalem where he was at. We don't hear anything else about this conflict until we get to Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Let's take a look there. It says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. It says they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening churches. All right, can you just take a time out here for 1 second? Did anybody else just exhale a sigh of relief when they read this? Can I just tell you that I am so glad that the people in the Bible were messing up their relationships as bad as we do here today, right? It was so refreshing to know that they struggled in this very same thing as well. Well, obviously something changed between Saul and John Mark. And again, the Bible isn't clear on what it is, but what we do know is that whatever happened between them was enough to cause a rift between Paul and Barnabas. So much so that they parted ways and they never worked together again. And here's the thing though, as shocking as it may have seemed when I first read it, the story of Paul and Barnabas has played out time and time again over hundreds and hundreds of years. It is not uncommon for us to see relationships shift during the course of their tenure together. What we see is that there are times when we need to make some decisions on what to do with a relationship that's no longer serving us. And there are a couple different things that we can do. And the first one is not something we see in this passage, so I'm just gonna give this one to you, Crosswinds. It's yours for free. But the one thing that we can do is we can transition them, to a different role in our life. They don't have to end completely. And here's what I mean by that. Maybe you've got a best friend. Maybe you and your best friend have been gelling, like you're here, you're going, you're doing it, right? Everything is going great. And then something happens in life that changes the dynamic of your relationship. Well, instead of ending the relationship completely, maybe that person just needs to become a friend in the broader context of the word. Here's the thing, that's okay. There is nothing wrong with that. And depending on the relationship, like I said before, it doesn't have to end completely. The point is, as we continue to seek Christ and grow in our relationship with him, we are constantly changing and evolving. And our lives are constantly unfolding. And as God leads us into greater things, certain relationships in our life may need to adjust in order for us to move ahead. And changing the role or position of someone in your life may be what's best for both of you. But sometimes simply changing their position is not enough. Sometimes we need to ask or allow a person who's once played a valuable or vital role in our life to leave the relationship because a once positive association has since turned negative. Well, when I was in third grade, I had a best friend. And me and my best friend were in different classes. And so the only time together that we had was when? Recess, good, that's exactly right. So when the bell rang for recess, we would head out to the playground and we'd find ourselves on a tetherball court or a four square court or playing jump rope. And at the beginning of the year, this was great. It was working. We were enjoying each other's company. But then over time, I found myself playing more of the games she wanted to play. And my request for games that I wanted to play was going ignored. This became really frustrating for me. And one day I even said, hey, I want to play tetherball. I've gotten really good at it. I think I'd be great at playing tetherball. Let's play tetherball today. And that's not what she wanted. So we agreed that one day she would choose the game that we would play. And then the next day I would choose the game that we would play. And that went on great until she started asking me if we could play her game first and then play a little bit of my game. But you know the problem with that, right? By the time we got to my game, what happened? Recess is over. That's right. Well, I got so frustrated with this that I finally went to my dad for some advice. And he gave me some advice that I've held on to this day. He looked me straight in the eye and he said, Danielle, why are you playing with her? Good friends know how to share. Good friends show that they care. And he made it rhyme because I was only 8 and that's the only way I could remember it. And that's why I still remember it to this day. But this simple phrase was still incredibly profound for me. Through his words, my dad helped me to not only identify what a good friend was, but he helped me to understand that this person that I was playing with did not really have my best interests in mind. She just wanted to play the games that she wanted to. And that was fine for her, right? But at some point, I needed to decide that if that was what I still wanted to do, I'd need to deal with it or I'd need to move on. And so the next day, after that, recess happens, run out there, I get to the jump ropes because I've gotten really good at jump rope now, right? I can do the skippy thing, all of that. So she comes out, we go to play jump ropes, and she says, Danielle, can we please play? And I said, no, thank you. I dropped the rope, and I headed over to play with other friends. That was also the day I selected a new best friend. Right? Here's the thing. It's amazing to see how the dynamics of friendships play out at even that young of an age. We've all had to end what started out as incredibly positive and even beneficial relationships. And ending relationships is inevitable. We will all have to do it if we haven't already at some point. The question is rarely, do we end them? The question we find ourselves asking more often than not is, how do we end them? How do we end relationships in the most loving, most affirmative, and most graceful way? Well, so in the time I have left, I'm going to spend my time quickly giving you some ways to transition a relationship and people out of your life in a way that not only honors God, but honors you and the other person as well. You ready? Okay, here's the first one. Be honest with love. So there's been a saying that's been going around for a few years, and I'm sure many of you have heard it. And people will often say, usually something rude or brash or harsh, and then follow it up with, I'm just keeping it real. You've heard that. Or, I'm just keeping it 100. Or let me be honest with you. But here's the thing. There is absolutely nothing God-honoring or people honoring about being rude or brash or hurting people's feelings. As a matter of fact, as soon as I hear the words, let me just be real, I know something rude is usually to follow. It's true. That relationship may not be benefiting you in any way at all, but let's not forget that we are the body of Christ. We are followers of Christ, and we are called to live a life that reflects that calling. And what I found in these situations to be true time and time again is that most of us don't have an honesty problem. We can be real and keep it 100 all day long. Most of us have a love problem. We have a problem showing love. Do you remember in the Bible where the Pharisees challenged Jesus on the greatest commandment of all? Do you remember that? Well, here's what Jesus said. Let's take a look. The Pharisees said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, unless they've made you mad, in which case keep it real and say whatever you like because you earned it." Matthew 22, 36 through 40. That's what it says. No, that's not what it says at all. What it says is love your neighbor as yourself, period. And guys, here's the thing. As we love and honor God with everything we've got, the overflow of that love is what we should be pouring out and showing to the people around us. I want to challenge you to put yourself in their shoes and treat them the way you would want to be treated. All right, here's the next one. Be clear about where you're at and what you need. And let me tell you how I saw this play out in the passage that we looked at earlier. Paul and Barnabas had different ministry styles and very different things that they needed from the people on their team. And what happened was they disagreed on what that would look like with John Mark in the picture. So they decided to part ways and do ministry based on where they were and what they needed. Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took Silas, and they were able to retain a friendship even though they weren't able to continue a working relationship. They had conversation and communication about their needs. And guys, I think this is the reason why they both were able to walk away and still have incredibly successful ministries in their own respects. Be clear about what you need and where you are. Okay, here's your next tip. Share what this relationship has meant to you and wish them well. Share what you've learned from the relationship. Share what you're grateful for. Be appreciative, be thankful, and be specific. On one occasion when I had to do this with a friend that I needed to end a relationship with, I had the opportunity to do this very thing. And as we were getting ready to part ways after all the smoke had cleared and the feelings had been expressed, I was able to sit down and thank this person for what they brought to my life. They had been incredibly kind and supportive. They'd had my back in some really tough situations, and this person had become like family to me. And I had the chance to really affirm them. I got to tell them who I thought they were as a person and who I saw and what I saw God doing in their life because of their gifts and talents. I was able to wish them well in their future relationships. And you know what? That was the best decision ever. Both of us walked away ready to walk into the future feeling positive and at peace with how this relationship ended. All right, I've got one more way that we can transition out of relationships well, and I want to spend just a little more time here because I think that for many of us, this is the most difficult one. Here it is. Continue to speak positive of the other person. Ouch. That's a tough one. In 2013, just before my girls and I moved here, I closed out what would be the most difficult season of my life. My divorce was finalized. And while you may not have ever been divorced, you likely know someone who has, or maybe even had the privilege of walking along someone who has. And I will tell you, there is probably not a tougher transition in life than that of a divorce. And I'm gonna be upfront and honest with you right now and tell you that I probably could have done a host of things differently, but there are two decisions that I made that I will never regret. And the first was to walk through this process with integrity and to conduct myself in a way that would honor God. And here's the thing. I recognized very early on that no matter how hard you try, no matter how well-intentioned you might be, the presence of lawyers and a judge automatically raises the level of defense and difficulty when it comes to a divorce. But I also knew that I had two little girls who were watching me. Watching how I acted, watching how I reacted. watching to see if everything that I had taught them about their faith and who God was would be put into action in this very difficult season of life, the most difficult season of my entire life. And it was incredibly hard. But I still also desperately wanted to protect their views of marriage and love and what I knew God could and would do through them and their future husbands if they chose to be married. I didn't want them to look at me and feel like they couldn't risk love and loving in their life. It was hard. But I took every phone call, sent every email, signed every document as though my girls were standing right there with me. And it impacted everything. And I mean everything. The second decision that I made really became easier after I'd committed to the first, and that was to only speak positive of my former husband, their dad. And again, I wanted nothing more for them to have a positive relationship with their dad. I had a great relationship with my dad. My dad was my hero, and I wanted that for my girls. I wanted them to have that head over heels. They've got him wrapped around his little tiny pinky finger relationship with their dad. But I knew that the things that I said would be critical to that happening. So I only spoke positively of him when it came to them. I didn't shy away from sharing the stories of how we met and showing them pictures of our wedding day and talking about those things because I knew that I would be the catalyst to making that happen for them. And let me remind you, I'm not perfect. I've made my share fair mistakes. But I quickly grabbed hold of the fact that what I was experiencing, the pain and the hurt that this divorce was causing me, was happening in the moment and that it would pass. But that my actions, my words, and speaking positively of him would impact their future and would set us all up for a better future. You see, my speaking positive didn't just give my girls permission to freely love their dad, but it also gave me the permission that I needed to wrestle through and achieve the healing that I needed from having gone through a divorce. Positivity doesn't just affect the intended recipient. It affects the giver and everyone in the splash zone as well. For our family, the reality of all that hit us like a ton of bricks just a couple weeks ago when our daughter promoted from eighth grade. For a lot of reasons, my daughters hadn't seen their dad in more than a year. But on June 9th, around 6 o'clock p.m. at Cal High on the football field, my daughter was crossing the stage and marking another milestone in her life. And there he was. And although we had invited him and mentioned it to him a few times, I wouldn't know until much later, but my youngest baby, 2 weeks before the event, had been planning with him to give her sister the very best gift that she could give him. She gave her sister time with her daddy. And I captured this picture as Dana and her father were reconnected after more than a year of being apart on one of the most important days of her life. And guys, I gotta tell you, it took every ounce of strength in me not to fall apart because I was so happy for them. I was so happy for my babies, but it was also then that I realized that this is the payoff for my commitment to speak positively in their life. This is the payoff for pushing them in front of my hurt and my pain and allowing them to have a relationship with their dad on their own. And I'll close with this. God has put people in our lives for a number of reasons. And as we've learned through this series, there have been times where those relationships have been hugely beneficial, lifting us up and helping us get to where God has wanted us to go in our life. But when they aren't, and it will happen, it is our responsibility in as much as we can to end them well. So Crosswinds, let me ask you, what's next? Where do you go from here? For some of you, you may need to think about whether you need to transition or end a relationship in your life. For others of you, you may need to spend some time in prayer to make the tough choice to figure out the timing on when to do this. Or maybe you're part of those who have been sitting here and have already decided that you need to do it. You know the relationship that you need to end, and you just need to take action. Well, wherever you fall, here are your guidelines. Here they are. Take a picture of them if you need to. But implement them and end well. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you so much for this day, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything we need right in your word, Lord God, to transition and end relationships well. Lord, it is not easy. I've been there. It's not easy, Lord, but we know that when we honor you and when we obey you, that you always remind us that we've done well, and you always reward that step of obedience. So God, I pray today that you would give someone courage, that there's someone here, Lord, who is gonna come to you with questions, Lord, that need to be answered on what to do and how to do it and whether this needs to transition or end. And God, I pray that they would find you in the midst of that. God, I thank you for relationships in our life that lift us up and point us to you and push us closer to the plan that you have for us. We love you and we thank you for your undying, unyielding love for us. It's in your name we pray, amen. Well, God bless you and thank you for joining us today.